We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories. Special Edition is a production of Intercom Communications.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Paula Dagnan. Thanks for joining us. Over the past few months, we've been bringing you guests to talk about all aspects of coronavirus, from testing to diagnosis to treatment, and then what happens in the other areas of our lives, such as mental health, and that includes your job. Many people have been displaced because of coronavirus, and that has caused a lot of stress, especially when it comes to paying the bills. Some people have talked frustration in many areas about not being able to get through to Pennsylvania unemployment and just what exactly is the other unemployment compensation known as PUA. There's been a lot of confusion. Intercom's Frank Andrews found some people who were able to get the answers to those questions. Haley Michelle and Wendy Murray have a PAPUA Facebook page. They've been helping folks just like you with the questions that folks just like you are asking. Frank had the opportunity to catch up with those ladies recently, and they took the questions from the people who need the answers and need them now.
Haley Michelle is on the line. She's in Allegheny County. Wendy Murray's on the line. She's in Nesquehoning and Carbon County. And all I can say, ladies, is holy cow, do we have questions for you. How are you both doing?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Wendy, you're in Nesquehoning. Okay, now, Wendy, you got volunteered to answer a lot of UC questions. And Haley, you are the PUA specialist. And so we have a first question that came in for either of you to respond to. A woman dialed the unemployment compensation number 900 times. She finally got through, and when she finally got through, she was on hold for 2.5 hours. Is that typical?
Yes. Unfortunately, that is typical.
And
how it is.
Much I would say she's lucky she got through after 900 calls.
Haley, let me ask you a question. Have the numbers of people getting involved in your Facebook page increased, or have it slowed down over the past couple of weeks?
I would say it has increased because of the IP and fraud issue. We had a lot of people join because of that. So we can ask a bunch of questions. So now we have, you know, we've been dealing with that a lot, and it's been going pretty smooth, I think.
And is it getting longer, the list getting bigger and bigger of people that are getting involved? Because now, with some people starting to go back, that creates a whole new set of problems. So they may have gotten it, but then trying to file a partial creates a whole new set of problems.
Yeah, that could be. That could happen. As long as they stay under their maximum amount of earnings, it should not affect anything. If they go above that limit, that's when the errors and issues come in 1 week, and then the next week you're fine. So we'll be seeing that a lot, I'm expecting.
What is the most common problem you're dealing with? And Wendy, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Haley, you go first.
Hey, right now, it would have to deal with the checks being issued and the IP situation. If you have been stuck in progress for all your weeks and they haven't given you a date, you need to upload your social security card and ID, and email them. And with the text being issues, it's caused a lot of confusion about where it's coming from, when it's coming, and we try to help people get those answers too.
Wendy, what are you hearing?
Backdating issues, because regular UC doesn't have the fraud issues going on. They're still getting direct deposits, and on the Relia card, they're not issuing checks for them. So their biggest problem in regular UC would be backdating week.
Patricia calling from Wyoming. You're up. What's your question for the ladies?
My husband's been trying to collect from May. We've sent several emails and faxes, and he's applied for the assistance with the help of our daughter because we don't have a computer. He's been unemployed since March the 14th and from due to the COVID-19 virus pandemic, but haven't heard anything, and it's really driving us crazy. And we did make a mistake on one of the issues and straightened it out on our end, and still waiting for them to straighten theirs out on their end.
Go ahead, Haley.
Okay, I would say to look for a payment date and transaction number on your weekly claims. If you don't have both of those in that spreadsheet there, you don't have, that claim hasn't been paid out yet. If you don't have them, you need to try to contact PUA to get it sorted out. You can even get local legal aid involved if you need a lot of help, or you can contact your congressman and try to get them to do request a call from PUA for you. But you want that payment date and transaction number in the spreadsheet to get the payment.
Without a transaction number, there is no payment or payment date, because that's how they trace the money once it's left.
How long is it taking for unemployment compensation people, for PUA people, to fix problems?
Well, I personally advise people to call. They're supposed to automatically fix it within 21 days and call you if they need information to fix it, or email you. But it sometimes takes, you know, I've seen it take like 3 or 4 weeks. So I advise people to call if you can. If you can wait it out, you can wait it out, and they'll call you if they need more information. They'll get to it eventually if you have an issue, open issue. But I advise people to try to call if you can, because it does take a while. Like I said, maybe 4 weeks.
Henry in Jenkins Township.
On Thursday, I received a letter that said that I didn't have enough qualifying weeks. Then the next day, I got a letter with my PIN number, and they told me that I have to file for unemployment this weekend. So I did that, but the dates they have, they had like May 30th and June the 6th, but the next time I have to file, the school will be closed, so I don't know what, I want back the back date. You know, I want it from March, so I don't know what to do if the dates say July or August on them.
Okay, that's a UC question. They mail everybody, regardless of the fact of if you get approved or denied. Everybody who applied for regular UC gets a PIN. You still have to try to do your biweekly claim on UC unless you get your denial letter.
Be right.
And it sounds like he got a denial letter, so I would call to double check and make sure he's denied. And if you're denied, then you file for PUA. It's a separate application.
Okay, so if he doesn't have no credit weeks, finish the statement, what should he do?
File for PUA, because a lot of people, even myself, one of my jobs, I didn't have enough credit weeks for unemployment. So I was self-employed too, but I had to file for PUA. Unemployment wouldn't cover me.
Okay, here's a question that came in. Laid off on March 19th. The owner of my company got a Paycheck Protection Program loan in mid-May, but did not pay his employees until June 4th for 3 weeks retroactively. How will this affect my unemployment compensation, as I filed biweekly claims until May 31st without any knowledge of this income that's coming?
I've seen this happen a lot, and I am one of the people who got a PPP for one of my jobs. So you would have to call. It could result in an overpayment. That's what will happen. It'll result in an overpayment. Then it's non-fault overpayment. So it's not your fault, but it is an overpayment that you'll have to pay back slowly or quickly, however you can do it. And you have to call them to straighten that out. Report the income for each week you earned money. Find out which weeks he paid you and how much you earned each week. And then report that income to them over the phone or something.
The regular UC, he's biweekly, so that would be regular UC.
Okay, you mentioned paying it back, and how do you you have to mail them a check? Do they take it out of your future benefits?
Fault, Wendy, what do they do for non-fault? You could do check, or they could take it out of your benefits, correct?
Right. Depends on what your weekly benefit amount is and how much you actually owe back. They could take it out of that, or if it's a big difference, then you have to pay them back.
Now, a bunch of questions have come in. When people need to communicate with the state, is the phone the best or is the chat the best? And people are frustrated with that chat.
Okay, there's only chat for regular UC, not PUA.
Chat won't help with PUA. They can only help with regular unemployment. So chat is best. If you're on regular unemployment, chat's best because they have extra hours. Thursdays and Fridays are the best days to call. But that's pretty much the only ways unless you get your local congressman involved.
Be the right option.
Frank in Scranton, what's your question?
I was laid off April 30th. I filed my first biweekly claim May 10th. I got one payment on the 19th. I did it again, refiled on the 24th, and again yesterday. But I received nothing since the 19th. Is there a delay or a problem? I heard about the fraud and the scams.
Are you regular UC?
Regular unemployment.
Okay, so sometimes for some reason with regular unemployment, you have to call, and for some reason your payments have to be manually released. They've never given a reason why that happens, but for some that happens, and it literally takes a day to get through to them and 2 seconds for them to release your payment.
I did it all online. I got confirmation by email on my phone and my printed letter that everything was accepted. But since I refiled on the 24th until yesterday, I had to refile again. I received nothing. Now, I don't know the difference between PAE. There's two different things here. I mean, I got one CARES Act check, too, but I got nothing.
Can you go on and manage? Does it show when you go in to manage your benefits? You can go into the last payment release.
I was able to get that, and I even have a balance in my account. But I went over 2 weeks without seeing anything.
Yeah, you definitely have to get in touch with them. For some reason, there's a whole account, and it might not be for any reason whatsoever. They just have to manually release it, and it literally takes 2 seconds.
Haley, here's a specific question for you. I have a question about PUA. My husband is a self-employed S-Corp. As far as I know, he is normally unable to collect unemployment compensation. He applied for PUA. He received a letter that he is eligible for regular unemployment compensation and a Relia card. He hasn't received any funds on the card. He hasn't received anything from PUA either. What should he do?
Well, if he was paying himself with W-2 wages and paying into his unemployment, he may absolutely be eligible for regular unemployment now. It's a weird thing we're finding, but if he's eligible for regular unemployment, he needs to follow through with that, disregard the PUA. I would contact them, regular unemployment, double check he's eligible, and have them file all those weeks he's missed so far.
We'll not release a Relia card until he gets approved for one of the systems, either regular UC or PUA. He has to apply for UC before they'll even send him out a Relia card.
Now, Haley, here's a question for you. After trying to backdate, the message says I cannot weekly certify until the backdating issue is rectified. It's been 2 weeks now. Any suggestions?
I have heard this quite a bunch. I was expecting this one. So there are three options. You can either... The first option is you can wait until they approve your request. That is not to backdate your weeks. That is to actually backdate your entire claim if it started on the wrong day. So if you did that by mistake, you'll have to either wait for them to fix it, which could take months, or you could call and have it fixed, or you could refile your whole application. Then you'll be able to file this Sunday for current weeks. You'll be missing those weeks before this Sunday. And you will have to call or wait for the back week to get your back weeks feature to be available to get those back weeks.
The problem with that also is we did post not to use that, but then there was a press conference that said it was fixed when it really wasn't fixed. I don't really think it's ever been fixed, to be honest.
Jim, what's your question?
I filed for PUA. I got a monetary determination letter that says, yes, I am eligible for benefits. What I didn't get was a PIN number. I've tried going back into the website, and it tells me I have to have a PIN number to get back in, even though it gave me a
financial determination. Right.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Regular UC only uses a PIN. PUA uses a dashboard with a username and password, not a PIN.
So when you signed up, you would have had to select a username and password, and that's what you'll use to log into your PUA if you're a PUA
unless
person.
You're claiming UC.
Yes, I have
that's
that.
That's a PIN.
Okay, well, you don't get a PIN if you're on PUA, Jim. You don't need a PIN.
Okay. But what happened is I went in and it said, fill in my social security number and PIN.
That's regular. You're on the wrong website. That's all.
Yeah, Jim, you're on the wrong website. You're on the unemployment compensation website. You need to go to the PUA website.
Okay. What is the address for that in that case?
It's the same. You just look at the top and you look. There's different links. One's like file your biweekly live chat. Initial claim, and then you'll see file PUA.
And so you
and then scroll all the way down. Click file PUA, and then scroll all the way down. Click file PUA again, and then it should take you to the PUA website.
You go to unemployment compensation, and you look for the PUA. That's Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. Go to PUA, because if you go to regular unemployment, you're not going to have a PIN because you're PUA. So I know it gets confusing, but just go to the PUA site. Larry in Mountaintop. What's up, Larry?
Now, I am semi-retired. I was working 20 hours a week, and I get a pension. And they told me that because of the pension, they have to review before they approve. I haven't gotten anything. I haven't gotten approval. I went on the chat line twice, and I asked what was going on, and they said, well, you have a pension. We're still working on it. And I said, well, I'll get an email.
Unfortunately, you're just going to have to wait for them. You're probably under staff review, and that might be your open issue right now that's preventing your pay to be released. And until that open issue goes away, you won't get paid. You could keep calling them and trying to contact them, but they just have to review it. And I've seen people under staff review, and eventually they do review it, and they do pay if you qualify.
Oh, boy, Larry, not very comforting. Yeah, staff review. I mean,
that sounds like a long time.
Pension is considered earned income.
Okay, pension is considered earned income.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Judy in Scranton. What's up, Judy?
This is for my husband, who's self-employed. And he was approved for an amount, but then they deducted. It was like $2,340 that's been disputed. And no reason given or whatever. And then they also had mentioned something about a 2.4% deduction. And we didn't understand what that meant, and I can't get through to call them.
That just sounds like they're deducting the 10% taxes because it is taxable income. And, Wendy, do you know what that 2.4 is? I forget exactly, or 2.9. It has something to do with the unemployment system, but that's normal. I forget what it is exactly, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
I
you
forget
think
what it is exactly also, but everybody has that. And it is the taxes taken out, like they take out, say, out of the 600, for example, if you have your taxes taken out, you only get 540. They take out $60 out of each of that TFUC $600.
Oh, okay. And you think
I wouldn't worry. That just sounds like taxes, which is good.
You think the $2,300 is the taxes then?
Yep, we think it's the taxes, Judy, so there you go. Nancy, on a cell phone. What's up, Nancy?
Okay, I didn't have a question. I just had some information to offer. I submitted for my husband, who is self-employed, the very first day that it was available to submit, which I think was towards the end of April. And of the 5 weeks I submitted, we only got 1 week. And one of them denied as excessive earnings. And the other three have been showing in progress since then, and they just processed on Friday and said it would have it in my account within 3 days.
Oh, okay. This is easy. They're going to send you a check for those 3 weeks. You should get it in 5 to 7 business days after the payment date. PUA is checks only from here until further notice, unfortunately. Just check the mailbox. Yeah. It's coming from the PA Treasury.
All right. Now, here's a question before we take another break here, and I don't know which of you wants to answer. If people qualify for either PUA or unemployment compensation and then are going to get that $600 CARES Act benefit. What you said is 540 if they take taxes out. People want to know, if you wind up getting called back to work, do you still get that 600?
If you earn $1 from PUA or unemployment, you are entitled to this. If you get like paid $1 from either unemployment thing, you get that $600.
So if you go back to work and you're now getting a partial benefit because you're not making the same amount, you're still going to get that $600.
Correct. If you get paid under your earnings and you're under your maximum amount you're allowed to make, and you're getting that partial benefit, and you're still, you know, partially unemployed, you'll get the $600.
Haley Michelle and Wendy Murray talking Pennsylvania unemployment compensation and PUA today on Special Edition. Now don't go away. When we come back, they return with more answers to more of those questions right here on Special Edition. Welcome back to Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. This week we have been featuring Pennsylvania unemployment compensation because it has become such a major issue to so many people throughout the Commonwealth. A lot of people frustrated because they can't get the answers. As Special Edition continues, Intercom's Frank Andrews talks with Haley Michelle and Wendy Murray from the PAPUA Facebook page, and these ladies have a lot of answers to a lot of questions.
Bill in Sweet Valley, what's your question for the ladies?
I was laid off on the 23rd of March. I filed my first two-week claim. I've been out for 5 weeks. I just went back 3 weeks ago, but I got a letter saying I was denied. So I did the appeal process, gave my W-2s. I didn't miss a day of work in 2019. Apparently, they went back to 2018, and I was denied. Then 2 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail said, you qualify for PUA. So, okay, so I filed for PUA, and PUA came back and said, you do not qualify. You qualify for UC unemployment. What do? I filed the appeal. I haven't heard anything from anybody. I emailed everything that the records that they were looking for, and I have not heard anything back via email or a phone number.
All right, Haley or Wendy, who wants the answer?
Well, every few months, the quarter change and the time period they use to base your amount on and your qualification also changes. So now they're going off of all of 2019 income, which sounds like you qualify. You didn't qualify at first, but now you actually qualify due to the quarter change for regular unemployment. If you got any money, so follow through with regular unemployment, cancel out PUA, don't mess with them anymore. And if you collected any money from PUA since April 5th, you would have qualified for unemployment since April 5th. If you collected any money from PUA since, contact unemployment to see how to pay that back, and you'll get all your money from unemployment from April 5th till current.
He needs to call the PAT number to see if he has a balance on his UC account. That will tell him if he's approved or not, since he's still waiting to hear about his appeal.
He has to call what number? The PAT number? And do you know that number? I mean, I'll look it up, but if you have it handy.
The PAT number is 888-255-4728.
Okay, and if somebody dials that will tell them any balance they have on their what? On their account?
On their regular UC, they'll ask your Social Security number and the PIN number, and it will give you your balance, which is like your claim balance for regular unemployment. If it's zero, you're not getting unemployment. Then you should apply for PUA. If you have a balance, then you do qualify for regular UC.
Okay, I'm employed full-time, not a day off since I began. I lost my part-time job when the pandemic hit. I filed for unemployment compensation to get denied in order to file for PUA, but I found out I was eligible for unemployment compensation. That's insane. Why would that be? I make too much full-time to deserve unemployment compensation. How does that work?
You're going to owe that money back because you only can apply for UC or PUA if you're unemployed. If you work a full-time job and lost your part-time job, you do not qualify for PUA.
wait a minute. Now, say that again. If you work a full-time job but you lost a part-time job, do you qualify for anything?
No.
So you can't get any kind of benefit to reimburse you for the part-time money you lost?
If you work full-time, you're out of the game.
Okay. So if you work full-time and you lost a part-time job, you're up the creek. You don't get any money.
Right, which is unfortunate because a lot of times people need two jobs to survive.
Right, and a lot of people are, I mean, boy, that's just, so people will not get reimbursed for the lost income on part-time, even if the part-time job was lost because of coronavirus?
Not if they're still working full-time, then they won't qualify for either.
Oh, boy, there you go. All right, Janice in Plains, what's your question, Janice?
My claim year ends on June 27th of this year. That's like 3 weeks from now. Should I start trying to call now to continue my claim, or what are they doing about that? Did they hire more people? Did they get people to get more people to take phone calls or what?
It sounds like you're eligible for the extension, and since you're still receiving benefits, I believe that'll come.
Except that sometimes if their claim is inactive, they have to reactivate it for PEUC. That's a 13-week extension. And unfortunately, people wound up, after they finished regular UC, they applied for PUA. But we're supposed to get PEUC. If they got paid for PUA, they're going to owe that money back.
Okay, a follow-up to what you just said. If I have a full-time job, but I applied for unemployment compensation for my part-time job, and I'm getting a message that there's an issue, that issue is that I'm going to be denied and I'm not qualified for anything. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Haley, this is specifically for you. This is a 77-year-old guy who applied for PUA and was eligible, but he needs help. He needs you to walk him through how to backdate.
Okay. The best way to do a backdate is to call, and they will do it for you if you can get a hold of them. If you can't, there is supposed to be a feature available eventually on the portal that allows you to do that. I don't know when that'll be, and I don't know how to work it once it's there, but that's supposed to come eventually. But I would suggest you have to call to get those back weeks as of today.
Okay, call.
Also, I get he's 77 years old, and a lot of people need walkthroughs for this. Myself, Haley, Donna, John, the ones who run this PUA site, we actually help people private message.
So what are you saying? That now he said that he had his daughter get him all signed up because he doesn't know how to use a computer. So if his daughter connects with you, you guys will help him?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody that just heard that, hang on. We're going to give you contact information a little bit later. Tom in Scranton, what's your question, Tom?
I signed up in March 15th, and I was expecting full benefits show about the end of April, and then I got... We called for reduced hours and signing up for partial benefits. Now, the hours are going up. What happens if I go over the hours so I can't sign up, and then the next week I go under the hours and I can sign up? Is that going to be a major problem?
Sometimes it does cause problems, and you go over 1 week and then you're fine the next week. Eventually it will get sorted out, but you should still continue to file as you can.
My employer made it clear to me they don't want me to collect unemployment. Now, I am collecting unemployment. Evidently, he doesn't know that. Can he fight me? I was approved everything. I'm doing everything. I'm recording all the hours that I work. Can he fight my unemployment?
He cannot fight your unemployment. That's a question you might want to ask legal aid. But unless you're refusing work or you're doing something wrong, you're given the hours you're given, and that's his issue, and that's on him. That's not on you. So no, I don't believe he could fight it. I would definitely follow up with legal aid, though.
This thing has just brought up a lot of questions, and I know we're asking the same thing three times here, but here is another one. I work full time and lost my part-time job, but I got a PIN, I got a Relia card and all, but no money. What does that mean? Does that mean I've kind of been approved, or is that just something that's going to be canceled?
It's going to be something that's canceled. No. They send everybody a PIN
As soon as you apply, they send you a PIN because you can't even go in and do anything else until you have a PIN. A lot of times people have been sent Relia cards and we'll get messages. Why is there a zero balance on the Relia card? Sometimes the Relia card just gets kicked out, especially for UC, but he will not qualify.
Ladies, I got this guy. I got cut to 35 hours a week from 40. Can I get partial unemployment?
It depends on your maximum benefit amount. It's doubtful.
But I doubt it.
Because it's usually a 50% decrease, I'm thinking around. It's possible, but you would have to be under your weekly benefit amount or under your maximum benefit amount to qualify. So you would have to figure that out. You would have to apply, figure that out, see if you're still under that amount of what you make every week. So it's doubtful, though, very doubtful.
What's the situation with the paper checks? I mean, some people say they get paper checks for their benefit. They don't get the 540. They're waiting. What's going on with those?
The 540 comes in a different check, usually a day or two later than they get their PUA payment. UC is still all deposits and the Relia card. UC is not affected at all for paper checks, only PUA.
You got Michael and Troop. What's your question, Mike?
We own a business. Basically, we've been living off savings for a couple of months now, and now it's just getting a little tight. Is it still something I can apply for and get back payments on, or are we just too late?
No, you can. You can 100% apply for PUA as owning a business.
And you can still apply and get those weeks while you were out. You might have to call them to get those weeks, but you'll probably be able to get them automatically if your application is all set. You could just file for those weeks.
Make sure you upload as much documentation to prove your income and your self-employed business as you possibly can.
You ladies have given answers that people could not get for 13 weeks. And pretty much about this, a lot of people have been working full-time but lost their part-time job, and they thought that they were going to be eligible for something. And so you have cleared up a bunch of questions for a lot of people. Now, is that also...
It is unfortunate, but... It is unfortunate because some people need two jobs to make survive.
Well, not only that, but they lost their part-time job not for any fault of their own, but because of coronavirus.
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. My mom got approved for PUA a week ago. She had a payment date and transaction number, but when she received her first payment, it was only for 1 week. She hasn't received the backdated money, even though she's been receiving weekly benefits. It says it paid, though. What do I do to fix that?
Well, it depends on her payment date. You have to go, okay, so this past Saturday, for example, my last week that I filed, my payment date was 6/1. I only just got my check for that.
So you're just saying it takes the state a good old time.
Sure does. If it was before the times of the check, if she's missing back payments, the payment date is before the 26th, say her payment date's May 25th. And she's missing those payments, then she could see if they're on a Relia card or the Treasury even sent a check out or what happened with those payments. But if it's after the 26th, her payment date in the spreadsheet, it's being sent by a check about 5 to 7 days after the payment date that's in the spreadsheet.
Okay.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people who has payment date is before the 26th and opted for direct deposit, it takes 5 to 7 days for your direct deposit to kick in. So what happened was if you applied and put in all your direct deposit information and your payment date was kicked the next day, it went to a Relia card.
Somebody wants to know how far back you can claim for the $600 federal money.
That only goes to April 4th. It depends on when
from
you
April
bought
4th.
The job.
April 4th. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and it's going to represent probably 1,000 people. Frank, my name is Paul. I received my letter. I got my PIN. I got a Relia card. I've been doing my biweekly for the past 8 weeks and have not received a penny. Can you tell me any way that I can get some money?
The only way is to call UC, unfortunately. Also, call the PAT number to make sure he has a balance. If there's no balance, there's a serious problem with his claim. If he has a balance, then he needs to call because sometimes, for some reason, there's a glitch, even with regular UC, that
it has to be manually released.
Okay, and the PAT number, in case you know this, Paul, is 888-255-4728. Now, folks listening, make sure you grab a pen and paper, because in just a couple minutes, I'm going to ask Haley and Wendy to kind of give you information on how you can hook up with their Facebook page or get in touch with them, like our 77-year-old friend.
Getting your questions answered, that's what it's all about. When Special Edition returns, Intercom's Frank Andrews, as well as Haley Michelle and Wendy Murray, will be back with more information on how you can find them and get your questions answered, maybe giving you just a little bit more peace of mind. Don't go away. Welcome back to Special Edition. Today we have been getting many answers to so many questions from people just like you who need those answers about Pennsylvania unemployment compensation and something called PUA, which seems to have created some confusion among residents in the state. Now we'll wrap up our discussion today with Intercom's Frank Andrews and his guests, Haley Michelle and Wendy Murray, as they take more questions from people just like you.
All right, let's go to Pete in Duryea. What's up, Pete?
Yeah, I was denied unemployment back in March, and I won't get into that. It's an appeal that I filed, but because my appeal has been delayed because of the COVID, I applied for PUA. And I can't get either one because there's an appeal pending, and I don't have an appeal date yet, and it's been over 2 months since I filed for the appeal. I'm sort of stuck in limbo. Do you have any resolution for that?
You definitely have to, again, call the PAT number to see if you have a balance, because even if your appeal went through, their notification is severely delayed.
Right. No, I do
not
have a
balance. Are you filing biweekly still?
No. I started a different job about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But all my back pay, I was trying to get the back pay through the PUA because I was denied the regular unemployment, and I never got my appeal notice back. I never got my appeal
date. And with the change of the quarters in April, you might qualify now, which is what's holding up both of them, because PUA will not let you claim if you have a UC account.
Right, exactly. But that's where my problem is, because I didn't get an appeal, and I can't get PUA because they may think I'm still receiving unemployment. So, and if I could get through to anybody, it'd be great.
Well, do your best at that one. Monica in Dallas. What's up, Monica?
My husband filed for his original claim on April 19th, and we have been filing biweekly ever since that date, and he has yet to receive anything from the unemployment compensation claim.
But Wendy always says, call his PAT number to see if he has a balance. If he has a balance with unemployment, then that means he was approved by now, and he should try to contact them to get the payment because it's being held up for some reason, or we don't know why. Another option is if he gets denied, if he ends up being denied, you can file for PUA.
PAT number is really important if you're trying to figure out your unemployment. If you have a zero balance, you got denied for unemployment.
Well, he got approved. His unemployment compensation claim was received and approved. And I don't understand.
So you got a determination letter on how much you're going to receive each week.
Oh, I'm not sure.
That would be your approval. It will exactly give you a letter on how much you're getting each week.
So again, I recommend calling that PAT number.
When you applied, everybody got a letter saying
you've applied for PUA, and your weekly benefit will be this amount. Everybody thinks it's an approval letter, and it's not, because specifically in the letter it says, if you meet the guidelines and provide documentation.
Okay, so Monica, you got to call that PAT number, which is 888-255-4728. Haley, if you would, please tell people how they connect with PUA Pennsylvania on Facebook.
Oh, awesome. Of course. So you look up PUA Pennsylvania on Facebook, find our group. You have to answer all three of the questions or we will not accept you, unfortunately. There's three easy questions, just saying you'll get along with others, basically. And answer the questions and we will add you to our group.
Okay. Now, Wendy, a silly question here, but somebody wants to know what PAT stands for. Do you know?
Pennsylvania Telecommunications.
Pennsylvania Telecommunication. Okay. And that number you keep saying is key. And that number is 888-255-4728. Now, when you mentioned about helping the 77-year-old guy, what's the best advice for people that need to reach out to you?
Reach out to an administrator of the PUA page.
Okay. All right. Ladies, we have about six suggestions that people start a GoFundMe page to raise money for you guys.
We do. You know, we do a lot of research, and people are like, oh, well, you don't work for the Department of Labor. No, but you're not getting any information from them. And Haley and I and Donna and John, we really bust our butt every day researching every question and every answer we can.
Okay, now Haley, we're gonna have you run for governor. Wendy, you can be lieutenant governor.
Could be governor. I'll vote for her.
That might not be good, but I'd like it.
We certainly hope that gave you a little bit more insight into some of the questions you may have regarding Pennsylvania's unemployment compensation during the COVID-19 pandemic. Something else that has many people asking questions, Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Gad Marshall joins us. He's taking part in a research study to try and get some answers.
Alzheimer's disease is unfortunately an epidemic. I know we're dealing with a different pandemic with COVID-19, but Alzheimer's disease has been an epidemic across the world, in the U.S., as well as in our local state of Pennsylvania for many years now. What we see is as you age, there is a certain segment of the population that's at greater risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. There are changes in the brain that we can track. There are clinical symptoms such as memory decline, language difficulties, sense of direction difficulties, changes in mood and behavior, and ultimately decline in your daily functioning that progresses with time. This is an irreversible, continuous neurodegenerative disease. And in recent years, we focused on early detection of Alzheimer's disease. And this will give me the opportunity to discuss a new web study that we launched about a year ago.
When you talk about early detection, that must be something that's very difficult because it can mimic so many other disorders that people 65 and older are dealing with.
Absolutely. So when you age, you can have changes in your memory and thinking abilities for many reasons, including just getting older. And so trying to separate that type of change from a disease like Alzheimer's disease is important in terms of whether or not we should be concerned about more aggressive decline down the road and what we can do about it. And so what we're offering today is a web study called APT or APT Web Study, found on aptwebstudy.org, which is a national effort funded by the NIH to detect the earliest symptoms of Alzheimer's disease with a simple computerized assessment you can take from the comfort of your home. All you need is a computer or a tablet connected to the internet. We're looking for individuals age 50 or older who do not have significant symptoms yet. And so we can track you over time with a 20-minute type of memory test every 3 months and let you know if, in fact, you are declining, and if so, what you can do about it, either in a clinical setting or in another research setting, such as a prevention trial for Alzheimer's disease.
Again, it can mimic so many other things. Are there what you would consider classic Alzheimer's symptoms?
Yeah. So Alzheimer's disease, as you said, classically would present as a consistent decline in your short-term memory, also some language changes early on, such as word-finding difficulties, changes in your sense of direction, and also changes in your mood early on, such as mild depressive symptoms, anxiety, lack of motivation, irritability. Early on, we usually don't see decline in daily functioning. That is something that we see usually when you hit the stage of dementia. The key is that there's a change from your prior abilities and that it is a consistent change, not just one day that something happens and then you're back to normal.
And as far as the study is concerned, then you're looking for people at the age of 50?
Yeah, so we're looking for people who are much younger than the typical onset of Alzheimer's disease. So the typical onset in the U.S. is early 70s for the stage of dementia. For milder memory symptoms, it will be late 60s. We're looking for people who are, you know, way younger than that in terms of potentially having a risk that's biological or genetic risk in their family. And we're looking for the very earliest changes in their memory performance that they might not be aware of, that we can detect with these sensitive computer tests over time. And then if we do detect a change, we could recommend that either if it's a significant change, they seek clinical care or they participate in a research study to have more assessments with scans of their brain, say, or in fact participate in a trial where we're testing a new drug to prevent Alzheimer's disease in people who do not have significant symptoms yet, but may be at risk.
That's another interesting question, because there is really no cure for Alzheimer's, but and there are drugs now that are going to start to be investigated, well, cure it, or would that just slow it down?
There is no cure. The treatments that we have available currently are used at the stage of dementia only, not prior to that. To mildly boost your symptoms, improve them for 6 or 12 months, and then they wear off. What we're looking for is medications or interventions that will at least slow the decline over time, and of course, preferably stop it altogether, which would be a cure. That, you know, we will settle for significantly slowing the decline. If you do that for several years, you can really change the quality of life of older adults. And so that's what we're looking for. And, you know, we've been doing these type of clinical trials for years, and we've been moving to earlier stages in hopes of having more success.
When you also mentioned genetics in there, if a person has had a family member, are you able to tell by the study that you're starting, the APT study, that there might be a predisposition, or maybe there's not a predisposition? Is it more possible that there could be something environmental?
Well, so we try and take into account several of these factors. This particular study is pretty streamlined, so we can't be exhaustive, and all of it is based on answering questions online. And so we're not doing any blood tests or scans of your brain with this particular study, but we try and get demographic information and family history information and also some medical history in order to figure out some of your risk factors. And yes, you could have a family history or genetic risk factor. You could have a risk factor from various common medical conditions like elevated blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, and in fact from stressors from the environment or your life generally. Say you're a caregiver, you can be stressed from that. Say you have you know, mood disorder, that could be a stressor. Your diet and exercise can beneficially or detrimentally affect your risk. And so these are various things we look at as well.
Dr. Marshall, this is fascinating. And again, the Alzheimer prevention trials, how can people get involved? Where can they find the information?
Well, so it's very simple. You just log on to our website, aptwebstudy.org. You learn about the study, and then if you're interested, you can sign up right there and then and get started.
Dr. Marshall, thank you so much, and hopefully in the future you'll be able to come back and we'll talk about what you've been finding out as far as the trials are concerned.
Thank you for your time and for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories, a production of Intercom Communications.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.